Conversation, as it was by the social fireside in the time of the Tudors, by Mark Twain, date 1601. Memorandum. The following is supposed to be an extract from the diary of the Pepys of that day, the same being Queen Elizabeth's cupbearer. It is supposed that he is of ancient and noble lineage, that he despises these literary canaille, that his soul consumes with wrath to see the queen stooping to talk with such, and that the old man feels that his nobility is defiled by contact with Shakespeare, etc., and yet he has got to stay there till Her Majesty chooses to dismiss him. Yesternight took Her Majesty the Queen a fantasy, such as she sometimes hath, and had to her closet certain that do write plays, books, and such like, these being my Lord Bacon, his worship Sir Walter Raleigh, Mr. Ben Jonson, and the child Francis Beaumont, which being but 16, hath yet turned his hand to the doing of the Latin masters into our English tongue, with great discretion and much applause. Also came with these the famous Shakespeare, a right strange mixing, truly, of mighty blood with mean, the more in especial since the Queen's Grace was present, as likewise these following, to wit, the Duchess of Bilgewater, 22 years of age, the Countess of Granby, 26, her daughter the Lady Helen, 15, as also these two maids of honour, to wit, the Lady Margery Boothby, 65, and the Lady Alice Dilbury, turned 70, she being 2 years the Queen's Grace's elder. I, being Her Majesty's cup-bearer, had no choice but to remain, and behold rank forgot, and the high hold converse with the low as upon equal terms, a great scandal did the world hear of. In the heat of the talk it befell that one did break wind, yielding an exceeding mighty and distressful stink, whereat all did laugh full sore, and then the Queen, "Verily, in mine 68 years, have I not heard the fellow to this fart? Meseemeth by the great sound and clamour of it, it was male, yet the belly it did lurk behind should now fall lean and flat against the spine of him that hath been delivered of so stately and so vast a bulk, whereas the guts of them that do quiff-splitters bear stand comely still and round. Prithee, let the author confess the offspring. Will my Lady Alice testify?" Lady Alice, "Good your grace, if I had room for such a thundergust within mine ancient bowels, 'tis not in reason I could discharge the same and live to thank God for that he did choose such handmaid so humble whereby to shew his power. Nay, 'tis not I that have brought forth this rich o'ermastering fog, this fragrant gloom, so pray you seek ye further." The Queen, "Mayhap the Lady Margery hath done the company this favor?" Lady Margery, "So please you, madam, my limbs are feeble with the weight and drought of 65 winters, and it behooveth that I be tender unto them. In the good providence of God, if I had contained this wonder, forsooth would I have given the whole evening of my sinking life to the dribbling of it forth, with trembling and uneasy soul, not launched it sudden in its matchless might, taking mine own life with violence, rending my weak frame like rotten rags. It was not I, your majesty." The Queen, "O God's name, who hath favored us? Hath it come to pass that a fart shall fart itself? Not such a one as this, I trow. Young Master Beaumont, but no, it would have wafted him to heaven like down of goose's body. 'Twas not the little Lady Helen. Nay, ne'er blush, my child. Thou'lt tickle thy tender maidenhead with many a mousy squeak before thou learnest to blow a hurricane like this. Was it you, my learned and ingenious Johnson?" Johnson, "So fell a blast hath ne'er mine ears saluted, nor yet a stench so all-pervading and immortal. 'Twas not a novice did it, good your majesty, but one of veteran experience, else had he failed of confidence. In sooth, it was not I." The Queen, "My Lord Bacon." Lord Bacon, Not from my lean entrails hath this prodigy burst forth, so please your grace. Not doth so befit the great as great performance, and haply shall you find that 'tis not from mediocrity this miracle hath issued. Though the subject be but a fart, yet will this tedious sink of learning ponderously philosophize. Meantime did the foul and deadly stink pervade all places to that degree that never smelt I the like, yet dare I not to leave the presence, albeit I was like to suffocate. The Queen, what saith ye, Master Shakespeare? Shakespeare, in the great hand of God I stand, and so proclaim mine innocence, though the sinless hosts of heaven had foretold the coming of this most desolating breath, proclaiming it a work of uninspired man, its quaking thunders, its firmament clogging rottenness, his own achievement in due course of nature, yet had not I believed it, but had said the pit itself hath furnished forth the stink, and heaven's artillery hath shook the globe in admiration of it. Then there was a silence, and each did turn him toward the worshipful Sir Walter Raleigh, that browned, embattled, bloody swashbuckler, who, rising up, did smile, and simpering say, Most gracious majesty, 'twas I that did it, but indeed it was so poor and frail a note, compared with such as I am wont to furnish, that in sooth I was ashamed to call the weakling mine in so august a presence. It was nothing, less than nothing, madam. I did it but to clear my nether throat. But had I come prepared, then had I delivered something worthy. Bear with me, please, your grace, till I can make amends. Then delivered he himself of such a godless and rock-shivering blast that all were fain to stop their ears, and following it did come so dense and foul a stink that that which went before did seem a poor and trifling thing beside it. Then saith he, feigning that he blushed and was confused, I perceive that I am weak to-day and cannot justice do unto my powers, and sat him down as who should say, There, it is not much, yet he that hath an arse to spare, let him fellow that if he think he can. By God, if I were the queen, I would e'en tip this swaggering braggart out of the court, and let him air his grandeurs and break his intolerable wind before the deaf, and such as suffocation pleaseth. Then fell they to talk about the manners and customs of many peoples, and Master Shakespeare spoke of the book of the Sieur Michel de Montaigne, wherein was mention of the custom of widows of Perigord to wear upon the headdress, in sign of widowhood, a jewel in the similitude of a man's member, wilted and limber, whereat the queen did laugh and say widows in England do wear pricks too, but betwixt the thighs, and not wilted neither, till coition hath done that office for them. Master Shakespeare did likewise observe how that the Sieur de Montaigne hath also spoken of a certain emperor of such mighty prowess that he did take 10 maidenheads in the compass of a single night, the while his empress did entertain 22 lusty knights between her sheets, yet was not satisfied. Whereat the merry Countess Granby saith a ram is yet the emperor's superior, since he will top above 100 ewes twixt sun and sun, and after, if he can have none more to shag, will masturbate until he hath enriched whole acres with his seed. Then spake the damned windmill Sir Walter, of a people in the uttermost parts of America, that copulate not until they be 35 years of age, the women being 28, and do it then but once in 7 years. The Queen, How doth that like my little Lady Helen? Shall we send thee thither and preserve thy belly? Lady Helen, Please, your highness's grace, mine old nurse hath told me there are more ways of serving God than by locking the thighs together. Yet am I willing to serve him that way too, since your highness's grace hath set the ensample. The Queen, God's wounds, a good answer, child. Lady Alice, Mayhap 'twill weaken when the hair sprouts below the navel. Lady Helen. Nay, it sprouted 2 years since. I can scarce more than cover it with my hand now. The Queen. Hear ye that, my little Beaumont? Have you not a little bird about ye that stirs at hearing tell of so sweet a nest? Beaumont. 'Tis not insensible, illustrious madam, but mousing owls and bats of low degree may not aspire to bliss so whelming and ecstatic as is found in the downy nests of birds of paradise. The Queen. By the gullet of God, 'tis a neat-turned compliment. With such a tongue as thine, lad, thou'lt spread the ivory thighs of many a willing maid in thy good time, if thy codpiece be as handy as thy speech. Then spake the Queen of how she met old Rabelais when she was turned of 15, and he did tell her of a man his father knew that had a double pair of bollocks, whereon a controversy followed as concerning the most just way to spell the word, the contention running high betwixt the learned Bacon and the ingenious Johnson, until at last the old Lady Margery, wearying of it all, saith, Gentles, what mattereth it how ye shall spell the word? I warrant ye, when ye use your bollocks, ye shall not think of it. And my Lady Granby, be ye content, let the spelling be. Ye shall enjoy the beating of them on your buttocks just the same, I trow. Before I had gained my 14th year, I had learnt that them that would explore a cunt stopped not to consider the spelling of it. Sir Walter, in sooth, when a shift's turned up, delay is meet for naught but dalliance. Boccaccio hath a story of a priest that did beguile a maid into his cell, then knelt him in a corner to pray for grace, to be rightly thankful for this tender maidenhead the Lord hath sent him. But the abbot, spying through the keyhole, did see a tuft of brownish hair with fair white flesh about it. Wherefore, when the priest's prayer was done, his chance was gone, forasmuch as the little maid had but the one cunt, and that was already occupied to her content. Then conversed they of religion and the mighty work the old dead Luther did do by the grace of God. Then next about poetry, and Master Shakespeare did read a part of his King Henry the Fourth, the which, it seemed unto me, is not of the value of an arseful of ashes, yet they praised it bravely, one and all. The same did read a portion of his Venus and Adonis, to their prodigious admiration, whereas I, being sleepy and fatigued withal, did deign it but paltry stuff, and was the more discomforted in that the bloody buccaneer had got his wind again, and did turn his mind to farting with such villain zeal that presently I was like to choke once more. God damn this windy ruffian and all his breed! I would that hell might get him. They talked about the wonderful defense which old Sir Nicholas Throgmorton did make for himself before the judges in the time of Mary, which was unlucky matter to broach, since it fetched out the Queen with a pity that he, having so much wit, had yet not enough to save his daughter's maidenhead sound for her marriage bed. And the Queen did give the damned Sir Walter a look that made him wince, for she hath not forgot he was her own lover in that old day. There was silent uncomfortableness now. 'Twas not a good turn for talk to take, since if the Queen must find offence in a little harmless debauching, when pricks were stiff and cunts not loath to take the stiffness out of them, who of this company was sinless? Behold, was not the wife of Master Shakespeare 4 months gone with child when she stood up before the altar? Was not her Grace of Bilgewater rogered by 4 lords before she had a husband? Was not the little Lady Helen born on her mother's wedding day? And behold, were not the Lady Alice and the Lady Margery there, mouthing religion, whores from the cradle? In time came they to discourse of Cervantes and of the new painter Rubens that is beginning to be heard of. Fine words and dainty wrought phrases from the ladies now, one or two of them being, in other days, pupils of that poor ass Lilly himself, and I marked how that Johnson and Shakespeare did fidget to discharge some venom of sarcasm, yet dared they not in the presence, the Queen's grace being the very flower of the euphuists herself. But behold, these be they that, having a specialty and admiring it in themselves, be jealous when a neighbor doth essay it, nor can abide it in them long. Wherefore 'twas observable that the queen waxed uncontent, and in time labored grandiose speech out of the mouth of Lady Alice, who manifestly did mightily pride herself thereon, did quite exhaust the queen's endurance, who listened till the gaudy speech was done, then lifted up her brows, and with vast irony, mincing, saith, "Oh, shit!" Whereat they all did laugh, but not the Lady Alice, that old foolish bitch. Now was Sir Walter minded of a tale he once did hear the ingenious Marguerite of Navarre relate, about a maid which, being like to suffer rape by an old archbishop, did smartly contrive a device to save her maidenhead, and said to him, "First, my lord, I prithee, take out thy holy tool and piss before me." Which doing, lo, his member fell, and would not rise again.